Okay. Hello, thanks for coming to this talk. My name is Babis Halios. I am a software engineer with Amazon Web Services. I'm currently working with a team that maintains the Firecracker virtual machine monitor. And today I will be speaking to you about virtual machine snapshots. And essentially I'm gonna be speaking more about some challenges we face when we clone virtual machines and then we start multiple virtual machines from that same clone, a problem that we call snapshot safety. And I'm going to be speaking a bit about the mechanisms we have today for tackling those issues and what do we believe we need to do as a community in order to grow awareness about the issue and build systems that are safe in the presence of snapshots. So, quick sneak peek on the agenda. We're going to define what is a virtual machine snapshot for us and what is problematic with virtual machine snapshots and which scenarios we have problems with them. And then go through a bit about the mechanisms we have today for addressing those issues and how we are thinking about building solutions that are system-wide and address the problem. And finally, I'm going to be speaking a bit about what we're planning to do next on the area. Okay. So earlier this morning, there was a very nice talk about virtual machine snapshots. It went too much more in detail on what I'm going to go into. But let's think for the moment about the virtual machine as a collection of some state. And that state might be memory, the guest memory, architectural state of the VM, then you might have some devices for doing networking and storage, et cetera, et cetera, and then some host resources, like whatever state the KVM in Linux is holding for us for the VM, maybe a top device for the networking and files that back our storage. And for this talk, a snapshot is simply the serialization of this state at a given point in time in a file that we store somewhere in some storage medium. And then we use that snapshot file in order to start one or more VMs that are exact identical copies of the initial virtual machine, right? And the morning talk spoke about various scenarios why you might want to do that. For example, you want to keep a backup of your machine so you can go back in time in a previous state, et cetera, et cetera. Or another scenario that you might want to do that is if you are building some sort of service that uses VMs to isolate workloads and you want to spawn these VMs very, very fastly in a state that they are ready to handle user requests, you might want to spawn a VM like that, bring it in a state, initialize everything, every service component that you want in order to get it ready to handle requests, and take a snapshot at that point. And then whenever you have a new request in the future, instead of booting a machine from scratch, booting all the operating system, the user space, blah, 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 you just resume from a snapshot, and then you are much faster in a state where you can handle that request. Okay, so what's wrong with that? Now, let's look again at the previous picture of our VM, and let's imagine for a second that somewhere in VM memory, or it doesn't have to be memory, it can be any other component of the VM, there is some piece of state, an object, some sort of state, that for the purpose of the application that it's making use of it, it needs to be unique and or secret. And it needs to have this property in order for the application to operate correctly or securely, et cetera. Now, you see where I'm going with this. Once we take that snapshot, that property of this state is lost. Okay? And here we're speaking about what sort of mechanisms what sort of applications are having this problem and how we can address this exact problem. We are aware even today of many classes of applications that they rely on this assumption of there's some part of their state being unique, secret, etc. And for example, we can think of cryptographically secure pseudo-random number generators. Those are random number generators that have the property that it is very, very hard, if not impossible, to guess what the next byte they're going to give you is, right? And many applications, the security of many applications rely on this property. They have other properties as well that, given knowledge of the current state of the PRNG, you cannot guess the previous bytes, etc., etc. But for those sort of applications, imagine that one, those sort of random number generators, imagine that once you take the snapshot, the VM snapshot, and you start more VMs from that, the state of the PRNG is being duplicated. So unless we do something else, unless we add more entropy, for example, in this PRNG, in all of the VMs that start from the same snapshot, the next byte that is going to be given out from that PRNG is going to be the exactly same in all of the VMs. Other examples of use cases that have this problem is network configuration. Imagine you have a VM that has some network configuration, IP addresses, MAC addresses, etc. Suddenly you snapshot that VM, and you create new VMs from that snapshot that live in the same network as your seed VM. Suddenly they appear in the network VMs with the exact same network configuration, and depending on your use case, that might be a problem. So you might want to be able to do that, to do something about it once this happens. You might want to detect that this is happening and do something about it. Another class of applications that are affected by this is anything that really uses a UUID, a GUID. Many applications rely on the uniqueness of this variable, this number, in order to perform correctly. Imagine, for example, once you take this snapshot of an application that has a UUID, and you start more VMs out of it, and the application that's running in this VM is using that number as an index in a database to modify stuff, read stuff, suddenly you have a race condition on the database. More than one entities are going to be using that same thing for accessing data. But any sort of use case where you rely on this thing being unique is a problem here. And really, we do not know exactly all of the applications that use cases that have this problem. So it really depends on the application itself. We really need to go see whether our applications keep state that has this semantics, the semantics of uniqueness and secrecy. And if you know that you are running some workload that has this problem and you run in such environments, let's speak about and think of what sort of mechanisms you could use in order to make this use case safe. Okay, now that we know a bit more about the problem that we're speaking about, we are facing, let's see what kind of mechanisms do we have today to address it. Essentially, the most fundamental mechanism we have today for doing that is called the virtual machine generation ID. It operates as a notification mechanism for the VM after it's getting resumed from a snapshot about that particular fact, that it tells the VM, okay, now you are in a new world. You are not in the world that you thought you were without having rebooted. Okay, and in the technical aspect of it, it's an ACPI virtual device. It is emulated by the monitor. And the way it provides the notification inside the guest is via a generation ID, which is a 16 bytes cryptographically random number that changes every time we resume from a snapshot. So when you resume from the snapshot, the monitor makes sure that it stores, that it changes the new value, then stores a new value in the generation ID, and before resuming the vCPUs of the VM, and once it resumes and injects an ACPI notification in the system. And once it resumes from the snapshot, which resumes the vCPUs, then that the guest kernel is going to handle that ACPI notification. What happens in Linux is that today the kernel is using the new generation ID as extra entropy for its entropy pool, so it's receding its entropy pool essentially, so that it avoids the problem we're speaking about before about PRNGs. It works, apparently. It works fine. There is still a bit of a concern regarding the fact of its asynchronicity, in the sense that there is a small race window between the moment we resume the BCP use and the ACPI notification is being handled by whatever thread in the kernel handles it. Handles this. Okay. Yep. Yay. Sorry about that. But at least we have something. Nice. So moving forward, recently we built in the Linux kernel, contributed a small essentially change that every time the generation ID changes, we emit a U event to the user space. Because before that, VMgen ID implementation did not do anything. It was using, since it was using the generation ID as entropy for the kernel PRNG, people were nervous about exporting it to the user space, so said, okay, that's it. So, and in reality, the user space does not really need that 16 bytes themselves. It just needs a small notification. So there you have it. Got merged recently in 6.8, and it is still an asynchronous notification mechanism, so everything that in the user space that runs event loops, for example, can monitor for it and get notified about the fact that they're now in a new VM started from a snapshot. It is still racy, this thing, it has to be said. So if we think that we have use cases that need to get more asynchronous mechanism, more synchronous mechanism, we should continue doing work to build those. Okay, so going back to the PRNGs, mainly because they're used by security sensitive applications. Let's see how these mechanisms can help us. In runtime systems that maintain their own PRNGs, like JVM, we can now use the VM GenID U event to be notified about snapshots. So upon resume, the runtime would get that event, eventually would be notified, and it would reseed the PRNG as soon as possible. Now, in other PRNGs that are implemented from libraries, within libraries, this is a bit more weird situation at the moment, because an asynchronous mechanism like a U event is not a perfect fit for the programming model. We will need to do something else about them. One idea here would be to use prediction resistance with what cryptographers call prediction resistance with hardware instructions. The idea here is simple. With every byte that the PRNG returns to you, you mix in some random bits that you got from a hardware instruction that is not affected, obviously, by virtual machine snapshots. So the problem just goes away. If you are able to do that, it doesn't matter if you have resumed from a snapshot. The state of the PRNG is always going to be including this snapshot, irrelevant random bytes, and everything is going to be fine. Other potential solutions, I don't know, for example, in cases where you do not have these instructions or for whatever the reason you don't want to use them, it would be to build some sort of synchronous APIs on top of the asynchronous VMgenID U event, for example. But we really think that we should do something. Don't go out on me again, bro. We really think we should do something about the use case of these libraries. Okay, so let's think, now that we know what mechanism we have available, let's think if see if we can really solve the problem. Okay? And let's follow this example. It's a very simple example of a VM that has started from a snapshot. The hypervisor and the guest kernel support VM gen ID. Right? The kernel is going to use the generation ID to receive its random number generator. And we have a user space application that does some network communication and it wants to use TLS. And it reads some random bits from DevView random, which is safe because of VM gen ID, in order to do some sort of communication. Okay, and everything works fine. The application creates the session key to start communicating with the outer world, and everything looks fine. And at that point, we take a snapshot. Now, the moment we resume the VM, the second VM from that snapshot, the session key is duplicated, essentially, both VMs. Right? So even though we have these mechanisms built in the system that give safe interfaces over that DevView random, for example, the final system is not necessarily safe. The same would go, for example, for GUID applications that have GUIDs, et cetera, and they would need to adapt themselves. And it is true that the application could use the VM gen ID U event, but that U event is present in the resumed snapshot, in the resumed VM. In the initial VM, there is not today a mechanism to do something about that. And again, there is some sort of race window between the event the resuming the VM and the application being reacting to that U event, which makes us think that probably there are things that should not ever be serialized at all. Right? It would be much easier if that session key was never serialized. And that makes us think that VM gen ID is a post-mortem mechanism. It is a notification in the new VMs, not the initial VM. And by the moment it arrives to us, sensitive information operations might be already in flight. And even if we handle that notification, there is nothing we can do about the things that are in flight. And that makes us think as well next that what we should probably do is control the timing of snapshot events. At the moment, snapshot events in the lifetime of a VM can arrive, let's say, at arbitrary points in time. Instead, we should control them. We should do something before we take even the snapshot and make sure that we only take a snapshot when the machine is in a safe state to be snapshotted. And once we resume, make sure that every application that needs to has adapted to the new situation before marking the system as ready to be operational again. Thinking about these things, some time ago we were speaking with systemd folks and we thought about modeling this problem using four states, describing our systems in being in one of four states. Running is the normal state of your VM. Now, once you want to take a snapshot, you start quiescing. People earlier today spoke about this as freezing, for example. And during that period, you do things preparing yourself to be snapshotted, so you cannot find yourself in a previous situation. And once you are quiet, once everybody is ready to be snapshot, then you can take the snapshot and then same. And on the resume path, on the resume from the snapshot path, you essentially do the opposite work, right? You start from a quiet state. Then you start unquiescing, getting ready for the new world, recreating your GUIDs and whatnot. And once everything is done, then you can be running again, up and running again. Systemd has this nice concept of inhibitors, which can essentially applications use in order to say, okay, don't do that transition until you are ready to. I